Morning. Even when things seem dark, God is with us. God's love is powerful enough to overcome any darkness that we encounter. Remember how much love has been given for you and rejoice.
Thank you. I got a green. Aha, there we go. Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I'm sorry for technical difficulties. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, our Thanksgiving Eve ecumenical choir and worship is coming up. The choir will rehearse on Wednesday, November 20th at 7:30 at First UCC. And I am sure that our choir would love to have anybody else who would like to sing for this special worship service, right? And continue, potentially. This is a great time to try out choir. And it's very fun. There we go. And they will also rehearse at 6 p.m. at Concordia on the 27th. And we are actually hosting the Thanksgiving Eve service, which is really exciting. So I hope to see a bunch of you here on that night. I think that was my only announcement. I know that Judy has an announcement. There you are. Do you want to borrow my lovely microphone?
Now that I've got it to work.
And it's warm.
Good morning. I am here to invite you to a caregivers boot camp. This Saturday, it's going to be at the 6-8 building. This boot camp is for anyone who's taking care of people with Alzheimer's, dementia, or any other type of long-term illness. There's a flyer posted on the board. A lunch will be provided. Can't go wrong. And boy, it's going to be a good one, too. I was reading it. And you will get a survival kit to help you with various phases of these long-term illnesses. There will also be a large section devoted to caring for the caregiver. The caregiver needs almost more care than anybody else, and this will help you take care of yourself, give you tips, give you everything you need to feel comfortable being a caregiver, if that ever can be. We hope to see you on Saturday at 9 o'clock at the 6-8 building here in town. Thank you.
Please. Is this one on? Let's sing Be Thou My Vision, the red hymnal number 451.
Please remain standing and join me in our praise. Welcome to worship this day.
We have come seeking peace and hope.
This is the house of the Lord. In it you will find what you seek.
Help us to open our hearts to God's word and will for us.
As for God's will, it will be given to you.
Praise be to God who loves and cares for us. Amen.
Please join us together in our prayer.
Lord of hope and peace,
we have come this day asking for your mercy. Grant us your pardon.
We have come this day seeking peace in our lives. Grant us peace. Teach us how to be compassionate disciples for you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Please remain standing and sing in the black hymnals in 22-23. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. And I have a helper. He's agreed to hold a sheet of paper. So, when you pray, at the end of a prayer, what word do you usually say? Amen. Right, exactly. Right, we usually say amen. But do you know what amen means? No? Any guesses? You don't have to have one. I'm just curious. At the end prayer? Yeah, that would be, you know, end prayer. That would be a good guess. Well, I wrote on here, and I thought we'd play hangman to find out what amen means. Okay? You guys know how to play hangman, right? You guess letters. And since we're so close to Thanksgiving, I thought I would draw a turkey for every letter that you don't get correct. So pray for me. All right. A? Oh, dear. No A. So I've got a little turkey body here. Okay. A. S. There is an S.
There's the S. T, that's a good one. We have two T's. K. K, no K's. We'll give the turkey some feet. All right.
I.
Yeah. Oops, sir, I. It's time. That's close, but there's no I here. But that was a good guess. M. No M. We'll give the turkey some feathers on this side.
L.
L. No L. Give them some feathers over here.
H.
H. No H. Give them some eyes. Do you want help from the congregation? E. E, that's a good one. There's an E. Got two letters left. I mean, there's more letters in the alphabet, but there's only two letters you have to guess.
F?
Nope, not an F. Tricky, you'll get a beak. C? No C? Congregation, you want to help them out? R, yes. There's one of them. And what's the other one? U, yes. It's true. Amen means it's true. So when we get done praying and we say, you know, God, we love you and we want help and we appreciate all the things that you give to us, we say, amen, it's true. Everything we've just said and asked for and told you about ourselves is true. Kind of cool, huh? Yeah, it makes it different. So next time you pray, instead of saying amen, you can say, it's true. Should we pray together and we'll do that? Repeat after me. Holy God, thank you for being here for us and for listening to our prayers. Help us to grow closer to you each and every day. In your name we pray. It's true. You guys can go back and take a seat. Thank you.
Jesus is my Lord, my Master, my Savior. Jesus is
What fun. We finished up last week talking about living courageously, although we will continue living courageously throughout the year. And I thought a lot about what I wanted to start talking about this week. We've got a little period of time. We've got 3 weeks between now and when Advent starts. I can't believe Advent is starting in 3 weeks, but it is. And so I decided that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. But I'm going to be a little bit more specific because we could talk about prayer for the next 365 days of the year and not be done. So we're specifically going to talk about prayers that we do ourselves individually, not prayers that we do as a group. And we're specifically going to talk about mostly silent prayer, so not prayers that we speak aloud. So 3 weeks on those types of prayers. Maybe we'll come back to some of the other options later. And when I decided which scripture I was going to read today, I decided that I loved the First Kings scripture that we started with Elijah so much last week that we needed to finish the story because we left him at the mountain of Horeb. But he hadn't finished his story yet. So this is the end of this portion of Elijah's story. This reading comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 8b through 13. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And when the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God add a blessing to this, the reading of God's holy word. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, thank you for the many ways that we get to talk to you. Help us to grow closer to you with every prayer that we make, that we may forever be your people. In your name we pray. It's true. I have a slide for you. Earlier this week, I Googled, "What does prayer look like?" And the first image that Google displayed looked like this. A woman folding her hands and bowing her head while standing in front of a beautiful sunset. While this is a lovely image and a beautiful description of prayer, I was not particularly surprised to discover that this was the first image that Google used to describe prayer. After all, I was taught in Sunday school, as I'm sure many of you were, that prayer was supposed to look something like this image of the woman praying. Or this next image of a child folding his hands like this. Or very occasionally like this man. with our heads bowed and our hands folded while we kneel in prayer. Which leads me to a confession. For a long time, I thought that I was really, really terrible at prayer. I knew logically what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to bow my head and fold my hands, and I was supposed to ask God to be present with me in that moment, and we were supposed to communicate with one another. I always started out right. I'd get in the correct position, and I'd tell God some things I was thankful for, and maybe ask for a thing or two. But then my thoughts would begin to change. I'd start to think, gee, this prayer is really, really long. Can we just get on with it already? I wonder what I'm having for lunch today. I wonder if I can talk my mom into McDonald's. I hope I remember my spelling words for my test tomorrow. How do you spell the word remember again? Oh yeah, we're praying. Well, God, thank you for everything else. Amen. When I was 19 years old, I began working at one of our United Methodist summer camps, and I was surrounded by a community of really amazing Christians. But I began to secretly worry that there was something wrong with me, that I must be prayer deficient or something. I had one coworker who would go off and would quietly pray for 20 or 30 minutes at a time. I had another who began every morning by quietly prayer journaling, all while I was still trying to figure out how to last through a 30-second silent prayer in church. But every time I got frustrated or confused or needed to work something out, I had a habit of going for a walk. If you've ever been to Pine Lake, you know that there are a lot of walking and hiking trails, and I grew to know them very well. Often when I walked, I would talk aloud to the trees and myself until I felt better and could return to my friends at camp. One day I finally confessed to one of my best friends my deep, dark prayer secret, and she laughed kindly. She said, "Claire, you pray all the time. You just don't realize it. You like to pray as you walk. When you go looking for answers, you're finding God in the trees." And she was right. I was. Whenever I need to find God now, I go for a walk. God always seems to find me there. Elijah was frustrated, confused, and had plenty of things that he needed to work on as he approached the mountain of Horeb, which was known as the mountain of God. He had been walking for 40 days and 40 nights. He was on the run and fearing for his life since Queen Jezebel and King Ahab were threatening to kill him. And since 40 days of walking is an awfully long time to think about things, I am sure that Elijah was desperately hoping that he would experience some clarity from God in this place that God was known to be found. When he arrived, Elijah went into a cave to spend the night. No sooner had he gotten settled than a voice from God said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answered, "I have been focused on you, God, but the Israelites, they're doing lots of bad things. They've rejected your laws, and they've broken down your altars, and they've killed your prophets. I am the only prophet left, and now they're trying to kill me too." This was the ultimate, "I didn't do it, it was all their fault" speech. But God does not address what Elijah said at all. God simply said, "Go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." As soon as Elijah was in place, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind had passed, the ground started shaking and trembling with a forceful earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a massive fire swept over the mountains, its flames reaching like a pillar into the night. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was utter silence. And in the midst of the silence, a gentle whisper called to Elijah. When Elijah heard it, he knew it was the Lord calling to him, so he pulled his cloak over his face and went to stand at the mouth of the cave. The whisper said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Elijah wanted badly to experience the presence of God. He was feeling particularly lost and overwhelmed in his life. He wanted answers and comfort and direction on how to turn his life around. I think if Elijah were going to be honest with himself, he was hoping when he told God about all the horrible things that the Israelites had been doing, that God would act as a great and powerful wind or a forceful earthquake or a pillar of fire and punish all of the people who had hurt Elijah. I think that if Elijah were truly honest with himself, he also would have known that he might have exaggerated the situation just a little bit. Yes, some people were doing some bad things, but not all of them. And he certainly wasn't the only prophet and the only person left following God. But God isn't here to talk with Elijah about revenge and punishment and answers. God is there to help Elijah move forward. And God does so by making a very quiet point. God shows Elijah a wind and an earthquake and a fire, but God isn't present in any of those forms. Instead, God appears to Elijah in a small whisper, asking Elijah why he's there. Elijah isn't wrong to believe that God could be located in a wind or an earthquake or a pillar of fire. In fact, we find examples of God appearing in all of those forms in other parts of the Old Testament. These would have been stories that Elijah would have been all too familiar with. But what Elijah needs right now isn't a wind or an earthquake or a fire, no matter what Elijah himself may have thought. What Elijah needs is a God who can appear to him and quietly redirect Elijah towards the future. God does eventually set everything right with Israel, just as Elijah asks. But God says so not through physical power, but through leading people with small whispers to change who they are and the people around them. The truth is that God can appear to us in a myriad of different ways. Sometimes God takes the form of winds or earthquakes or fires. A lot of times God takes the form of still small whispers, calling to us when we need it most. Because God appears to us in so many different ways and in so many different forms, there are an almost endless number of ways that we can seek out God in prayer. Once I discovered walking as a way of prayer, I began to see the many ways that God was quietly whispering to me as I walked. I started to collect different ways to pray. There are as many ways to pray to God as there are people who have ever prayed, since each one of us does so in our own way and in our own voice. But over the course of the next 3 weeks, I'd like to share with you some ways that I have learned that others have experienced God's still small whispers in their lives. Prayer is not always something that needs to happen while your body is still. Some people connect to God very well through stillness. Others prefer to use their bodies to pray. I know many people have described to me that playing an instrument or singing or dancing for them can be a deeply satisfying form of prayer. But one that you may not have thought of is a neighborhood prayer walk or run. This prayer is particularly good for the long-distance runners or walkers in our congregation. As you run or walk, you pray for every building or place you pass. As you run past the elementary school, you pray that the students and teachers would learn wonderful new things from each other. As you run past the police or fire station, you pray that our emergency personnel remains safe and are able to help those around them. As you run past your neighbor's house, you pray for their family or their job or something you know that they need in their lives. This beautiful form of prayer will challenge you to view this wonderful community we live in through the eyes of God and to think deeply about your friends and neighbors and what they need. A much older prayer practice is that of walking or tracing a labyrinth. I included one in your bulletin today. The difference between a maze and a labyrinth is that a labyrinth's entrance and exit is the same place. And there are no places to turn and get lost. Labyrinths became popular during the Middle Ages along with a different form of showing religious devotion. In the Middle Ages, it was very popular to go on pilgrimages to visit sites and churches of different saints in order to pray and deepen one's faith. But pilgrimages and travel were quite costly and time-consuming, so pilgrimages were not in reach for everyone. So the churches began to install walking labyrinths on their property. These labyrinths symbolized taking a pilgrimage. As you walk towards the center of the labyrinth, you imagine that you're traveling to your pilgrimage destination. And as you walk back out from the center, you imagine that you're traveling back home, having experienced God in a new way. If you'd like to take a pilgrimage to a walking labyrinth, Wellspring United Methodist Church in Madison has one as a part of their community garden. Or you can search for others using the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator online. If a walking labyrinth isn't your first choice, you can use a finger labyrinth. I have this beautiful wooden one that I got online. You place your finger in the groove and you trace along it. Or you can use a paper one like this one, where you can trace either with your finger or with a pen or pencil. You can pray that you find a deeper relationship with God on your way in, and that you'll find ways to touch those around you on the way out. You can trace the labyrinth as quickly or as slowly as you like. The last prayer practice I'd like to teach you today is the newest one to me. This one is called body prayer. It's when you place your body in a number of different positions in order to represent your prayer. Online, you can find a number of different body prayers, including several different versions of the Lord's Prayer. But the body prayer I'm going to share to you today was taught to me by Diana Butler Bass and is a prayer for gratitude. It has three steps and it can be done sitting or standing. So the first step, you reach up to the sky like you're calling God to join you. You can join me if you want to. Yeah. And then the second one is you reach out like you're receiving God's goodness. A little hard in the pews, sorry. Better one when you get home. And then you fold your hands to thank God for the gift you've been given. Well, that's a very short body prayer, but one that I really enjoy. No matter how we pray, whether it is bowing our heads and folding our hands, or running or walking, or reaching up to God, we know that our God is a God who appears to us in the most unexpected ways and in the most unexpected moments. We know that our God is one who speaks to us in gentle whispers when we need it most, asking us, "What are you doing here?" Amen and amen. I'd like to ask you to take a moment to use your prayer labyrinth. I'll fold your hands, or I guess you can do body prayer where you're sitting. Probably community prayer would be hard in the sanctuary. and just take a moment to pray. Amen. You stand and join me in singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," number 526. Please be seated. In the United Methodist Church, we pledge to give of ourselves in five ways: through our prayers, our presence, our financial gifts, our service, and our witness. You have already given this church a gift by being here today. In a moment, the ushers will come forward to collect our financial gifts and prayer cards located in the pews. Thank you for the many ways in which you give to God.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God.
Except we pray, not just for this money, but our love and lives, freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you may take us.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. More praying. Yay! Different form of prayer, corporate prayer.
For those in service and the veterans.
Yes. For those in service and the veterans. Yes, that's actually my candle prayer today, but I'll borrow it early. We'll do it twice. You can never pray too much. You have a praise. Yay. Wow, that's the safe part is praise. Your car broke down during the snowstorm on Wednesday in traffic, but you're safe and you're here, and we are really grateful for that. The rest of that doesn't sound like praise. I have two. One, I have a very dear friend of mine who is flying in today as we speak from Washington, D.C. She goes up tomorrow for her provisional interviews for her ordination. So for all of those who are interviewing, I did that last year. I can tell you it is nerve-wracking, and I am sure she is panicking right now. She keeps sending me messages that's like, how can I study for this? And you really can't. She's like, tell me how I can study for it. And I'm like, take a nap. Eat some dinner. Deep breaths. Pray. For all those interviewing, we pray. Because I know they're very nervous right now. And then secondly, I have a very, very dear person to me who is the Christian education director at the church I grew up in for the longest. I refer to her as my aunt, and she would refer to me as her niece. She received news last week that she only has 2 weeks to 2 months to live. So she will not be with us much longer. She's had cancer for a couple years now, and unfortunately she appears to be at the end of her journey. So we pray for her family, who I have grown up with very, very closely, and for all of those who love her. She has raised many, many children, some of which were her own, and many of us whom she just loved. So we pray for her. And I mentioned our candle prayer today. We want to pray for all of those who have served in the military in the past and for all those who are currently serving. We pray. Awesome, great Creator God. Great is your faithfulness. You will never leave us. Even in the moments in our lives when we feel like all hope is lost, you are there to turn us around and whisper to us, to slowly help us find a way forward. Holy God, we know that you love and care for us, and you walk alongside us each and every day. Today we pray particularly for those with health concerns. We pray that you would strengthen them, that they may grow stronger day by day, that they may glorify you more and more. Lord, we pray particularly for those with cancer. We pray that they would know that they are not alone. We pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses, that they would grow stronger. We pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or who are home confined. Lord, we know that you are present in all places, that you are not bound by the walls of a church. We pray that you would be with all of those who are not able to be with us today. And Lord, we pray particularly for those experiencing grief. Lord, we know that you do not leave us alone in the darkest moments of our lives. Help us to feel your strength and your peace and the strength of your community that you've built surrounding us. And Lord, we pray particularly today for all of us who have served us in the military in the past and all those who are serving in the military in the present. Keep them safe. Help them to know that they are loved even when they are away from their loved ones. We pray this now as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive As we go forth, let us remember that God is always with us. Whether it is in an earthquake or a pillar of fire or a strong wind or a still small whisper, helping guide us along the way. Amen.